Yo, what's up? We're back, and this week it's for UFC Singapore. And this card is all right. I mean, it's not the greatest card, but we're gonna get right into it with the first fight of the night, heavyweight fight between Rafael Pessoa and Jeff Hughes. And Jeff Hughes, he's getting that quick turnaround after his no contest versus Todd Duffy, and he poked Duffy in the eye, didn't? And it looked like Todd didn't really want to continue. It seemed like Duffy had that success early where he dropped Jeff, but then Jeff didn't look like he was going to get out of there. It looked like he was going to come back strong. And I think that Duffy just knew that, wanted the easy way out, so he kind of quit in that fight. And Jeff Hughes is very tough, man, but he's just not extremely athletic. For heavyweight, I would say he's not unathletic, but he's just like a workman. He has hard low kicks, overhand right, pretty good boxing, decent hand speed, and he will throw some 1-2s, so combos. And he has a nice right hook 1-2. He'll throw a lead uppercut left hook. And he throws a nice right hook overhand left combination as well. And he's definitely willing to sit in the pocket and trade. He landed a nice left hook in an exchange with Todd Duffy that kind of rattled Duffy. And he's very good at throwing in combination against the cage. He'll throw some spinning back fist, uppercuts, a lot of volume. And he's well conditioned for a heavyweight. He trains with Stipe, so he has a great training partner to work with out there. And he kind of struggled with the aggressiveness of Duffy. He was backed up against a cage and flurried on multiple times. He was dropped. But he's a tough guy. I mean, he could take a licking and keep on ticking. And it looked like he took all the shots Duffy had to offer, gassed him out, and made him quit with the eye injury, like I said before. But he isn't a big power guy. He only has four knockouts. He has a strong chin, though. He's only been finished one time by KO TKO. And he's a grinder. He likes to work against the cage, get top position. He'll land big uppercuts, overhand combinations against the cage, then level change into the double leg, good body locks as well. And in top position, he will wear on guys with short shots, solid control. He can try to pass quickly and get swept at times. And he doesn't look like he has the best submission defense at times either, but he was able to defend all the submission attempts of Maurice Greene. And, in their first fight, the second fight didn't really have as much success getting it to the ground. But in this fight, he has to have seen Pessoa's last match, and I would say look for takedowns. And he isn't really a submission threat, but Pessoa got submitted almost immediately after he got taken down in the fight against Surogan. So that's something to be, wary of or to look at if you're Jeff Hughes. Maybe look for a submission. He only has one in his career, and he's never been submitted. But for Rafael Pessoa, he's obviously looking for a better result after getting finished in his debut, and he got submitted by Cyril. But so he took on that fight on short notice. He looked kind of out of shape, so hopefully, he's ready to go here, more fit, looks better, shows more of his skills off. And he's a striker. It looks like good lateral movement, nasty kicks. I mean, he's pretty athletic for a heavyweight. Even like he kind of has a deceptive frame. He'll throw some body spinning kicks, round kicks to the head, round kicks to the body, but he doesn't like fighting on the inside. He kind of just uses the jab left hook to land and exit and tries to use a lot of kicks. He'll look for counter uppercuts, and he definitely has big power. He's been able to knock out some fighters I've seen in sloppy exchanges, but he gets hit and he has kind of a good chin. He'll fire back, but he's basic in that sense. He'll kind of just trade sloppily with the hands. Definitely is a guy who likes to be on the outside, use the leg kicks, use the body kicks. Get cute with some spins, use his speed, and just keep fighters on the outside. But the thing is, when he's fought guys that know how to cut the cage off and aren't just kind of punching bags, they've been able to get inside and back him up pretty easily. And that's why he's had to win in these pocket exchanges and get knockouts. And he does have six knockouts in his nine wins. He's never been finished by strikes. And he isn't an offensive grappler. I mean, he doesn't look like someone who will have an explosive wrestling shot. I highly doubt he could take down Jeff Hughes. And in his last match with Surogan, he showed nothing on the mat. I mean, he made a mistake on for a hip toss, ended up on his back. And when he was down, he almost turtled up. He was arm triangled almost immediately. And that's his one career submission loss. He does have a submission victory in his career. But how I see this fight going is on the feet early, I think Pessoa has a chance to hurt Hughes. I mean, everyone that he's fought in the UFC so far has hurt him, and I think he's lighter on his feet. I think he hits harder, he moves a little better, and I think he's going to be looking to use the leg kicks, left hooks, overhands, and trying to stick and move, walk Hughes into shots, angle off. He needs to kind of stop that bad habit of stopping against a cage, just waiting for counters. Because against low-level fighters, maybe you'll catch him, but it's not a style that's going to work consistently in the UFC. And he showed bad technique in the clinch, going for that hip toss, nothing off his back. So definitely don't look to grapple here. And if Jeff Hughes could survive early, use his forward pressure, back him up, get him in the cage, get body locks, punch him to the body, to the head, against the cage, get some takedowns. I think Hughes definitely will be able to control him against the cage and on the ground if he takes Pizzo down. And I'm going to say Hughes via second round TKO with ground and pound. But, this is an interesting fight here that I think Hughes should win, but I think the line, I don't think you can bet Hughes at that line. So my pick's going to be Jeff Hughes via second round TKO, though. And up next here, we have a fight between Alexander Abu and Loma Lagbuneme. And, I actually have a pretty good read on this fight, I hope at least, and I do have a bet on this fight. And I did predict Abu's last fight almost to a T against Emily Whitmire. I remember she was like, Whitmire was like plus 250 or something crazy. I bet her and cashed out pretty good on that fight. She got the quickest submission in strawweight history. And I'm just really not impressed with Abu. She's going to be looking to bounce back from, which was her first career loss against Whitmire. But, she is powerful, but she's stiff. And her straight right hand or right hook do have decent pop, and she's aggressive, especially in the first round. She goes for it. She'll throw the left hook, straight right hand combination, body, head kicks, but she just runs forward with punch combinations. Absolutely no setup. Her chin's right in the air, and she's still just very wild novice on the feet. She will attempt to use her jab, but it comes slow. Fighters counter off of it. She's explosive, though, and she can close the distance pretty quickly. She'll use some spinning back fists. She just doesn't set them up very well. She really doesn't have good movement, and when fighters pressure her, she'll just back straight up. She does have a good chin. I mean, she's willing to eat shots. She's a, actually a hell of a chin, I would say. I mean, she eats huge shots, continues to come forward. She ate that illegal up kick to the face in her fight against Kayla Curran. It looked like it didn't even register on her. And, she's 3-1, so she still has very little cage time. And she's not a great grappler. I mean, she's more comfortable grappling than striking, but she's very strong. And against low-level fighters, she's been able to just use brute strength to overpower them. And she can get backed up with punches and, put on her back against the cage as well. But opponents have had success controlling her and landing shots against the cage, also getting body locks. In her fight against Emily Whitmire took her down, took the back, got the submission very quickly. But Abu will even pull guard when she's in the clinch at times. She'll attempt leg locks. She just isn't nearly dangerous enough or has good enough get-up game to be risking being on her back. But, she will explode early, and she has decent get-ups. But as her cardio goes, she's hard-pressed to stand back up. She gives her back to stand up. And she did get a guillotine in her UFC debut. And she does have a decent body lock. She'll use hip throws. She has a lot of power. And she can really slam opponents. And on top, she will frame, land some elbows, hammer fists. But she leaves a lot of openings to be submitted. And, she really doesn't have an overly dangerous top game. But I feel like with her power and, I feel like that's what she should be working on in the gym is getting like a crushing top game. But, she's one finish via ground and pound. She's finished two of her three fights. And she has questionable cardio. I mean, she doesn't know how to pace herself yet. And just kind of goes all out, gets tired. And she doesn't really have good composure decision making. But for Loma, she's going to be making her debut here. She's fought Invicta in her last fight. And she is an atomweight, so this is going to be her first fight at strawweight. And she's a pure Muay Thai practitioner. She's actually the first Thai fighter to compete in the UFC. And, Loma, she's a nine-time Muay Thai world champion, International Federation Muay Thai Association's gold medalist. She won the Muay Thai Female Athlete of the Year in 2018. And, early on, it seems like she likes to be a little flat-footed and kind of just read her opponents, see what they're going to do. And fighters can dart in, land, dart out, but she tends to start a little slow, like most Muay Thai people do. But when she gets her footwork going and she starts moving, she looks really good. I mean, she's light on her feet. She controls distance well. She has nasty low kicks inside, outside, front kicks to the body, front kicks to the head. She'll throw those kicks with both legs. She likes to throw rounded front kicks to the body to a straight right hand or right hook. She has excellent feints, very good at feinting kicks, throwing punches, and she's kind of low volume with her hands. She only throws one strike at a time with her hands, but she's very calm under fire in the pocket. She's shown a great chin, and she has one career TKO victory in her four fight career so far, but she's extremely good in the clinch, man. She's super strong, throws girls around. She'll frame against the face with her forearm, come over the top with elbows, nasty knees, body head, and she gets the bulk of her damage off in fights in the clinch or in top position. She actually has very nice body lock entries, good double leg slams, and when opponents pressure, she'll duck under into a takedown. She definitely has good timing, and she likes to throw elbows from half guard. She'll pass the mount, and she has great control ground and pound from there. She'll get high in the mount, trap the wrist, look for punches. She'll force opponents to give their backs, or she'll flat the mount, beat them up from there. And she likes to grapple in most of the fights that I've seen, and she's got taken top position in almost every fight that she's been in MMA. And her one loss, she was caught in an armbar in a scramble. But, you know, the girl that she was fighting in that fight is pretty good, man. I mean, she just recently had a fight with Yaka Hamasaki in Ryzen. And, you know, she was putting her in some bad positions. She almost choked her out. And that girl looks pretty good as well. So, I mean, that's not a terrible loss for Loma. And I really like this fight for Loma. I mean, she's much more composed, experienced. I think she's going to see the shots coming from Abu, easily be able to counter. Abu just doesn't have the footwork, the boxing, the speed. She doesn't have the genetic speed, the technical speed. You know, Loma is much more fluid, very effortless with her movement, her striking. It's much just sharper, and she's relaxed. She's efficient. For Abu, she's tense. She's robotic. She kind of just telegraphs. And she doesn't... And I just don't see her being able to be much of a threat on the feet in this fight. The only thing Abu has on the feet is explosiveness. And, I mean, if she can close the distance early with a flurry, maybe she could hurt Loma. But I just don't see that happening. Now, I also see Loma as the better wrestler and the better grappler submission artist. And Abu, you know, she only has a size and athleticism advantage in this fight. But skills are going to rule the day, man. I think Loma's going to dominate three rounds. Maybe she even gets a knockdown or two. And, you know, a few takedowns, I think she's going to get a decision. And I'm actually very confident that Loma Lukbunme gets this done. And up next year, we actually have a pretty interesting fight with Sergey Pavlovich taking on Maurice Greene. And Sergey, he bounced back from that loss to Overeem with that first-round knockout on Marcelo Gomes, which was pretty nasty. And he hasn't been out of round one since over 2 years. And he's finished 10 of his fights in his 13 wins, all in the first round. But he's a low-volume counter-striker, nasty jab, good heavy 1-2. He'll throw a jab overhand right, and he will throw a nice fadeaway left and right hook, almost like those Russian casting hooks. And his 84-inch reach, you know, gives him the ability to land from far out. And his overhand right is his money shot, man. He hurts everyone he lands that on. In his last fight, he landed that overhand right, close distance, flurried on him against a cage to finish the fight. And his hand speed is pretty good. He's fairly quick. Decent leg kicks. He will throw the occasional round and front kicks to the body as well. And he will throw high kicks into spinning back fists. And when he has an opponent hurt, he will try to open up and finish. But overall, over three rounds, he's low volume. And usually, if fights hit the scorecards, it's close. I mean, he's had multiple fights where he's got the decision where it's kind of been a 50-50 fight. His counterpunching does make opponents hesitant to throw also. And he's had quite a few just very uneventful fights. But he will feint, inch forward, make the cage small, try to force reactions. And when he gets most of his knockouts, it's when his opponents go first. And Maurice Greene, you know, is a guy that likes to give opponents opportunities to land. I mean, not give opponents, that's not a good way to say it. But Maurice Greene, he is a very aggressive guy. But all 10 of Pavlovich's finishes are via knockout. And Pavlovich, he isn't a super active grappler. I really don't expect him to wrestle much here. He isn't a bad wrestler. He has strong double legs, but just doesn't have the top control. And I feel that's why he doesn't really want to waste his energy with the takedowns. But he does have solid knees in the clinch. In his fight with Overeem, when he was taken down, he did get beat up with ground and pound. He got knocked out pretty badly. And maybe Maurice Greene will try to take him down, but I don't see him being able to do that. So, yeah. But Pavlovich has no submissions. He's never been submitted himself. And he has good cardio due to his style, but like I said, it's very low volume. And for Maurice Greene, he's looking to run his UFC record to 4-0. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And he earned that first round finish in his third UFC fight via knockout against Junior Baby Albini. And Maurice Greene did his training camp at Factory X for this fight, and he looks in very good shape. I mean, he's always had a little body fat. He's weighed in at, or he weighed in at 256 for his last fight. And he's posting fights or posting pictures on Instagram weighing in at like 236 pounds, looking much more ripped. And he's an athletic striker. He has a snappy jab. He was able to drop Jeff Hughes with that jab. And he'll use the double jab to get inside. He'll throw some nice 1-2s. And he'll throw front and round kicks to the body. He'll throw 1-2s to body kick combinations. Good head kicks. He'll throw front kicks to the face. And he likes to throw a lot of lead uppercuts. Good lead elbows and knees as well. And he's close the distance with flying knees, lead elbows. And when fighters are against the cage, he really likes to flurry, trying to take people out. And he's a fast guy. He throws in combination. He keeps the volume high. He's a finisher. And he's going to have the speed and volume advantage in this matchup. But he tends to drop his right hand when he throws the left straight or the jab. And he looks weak to the body in certain fights. But in better shape, I'm sure he'll take the body shots better. But when Green gets hurt, he doesn't show great defense. He kind of just shell up. And he doesn't have big power. He just has two knockouts in his career. In his fight with Junior Albini, he did get that first round knockout. So, you know, it is heavyweight. You have to respect these guys' power. And Green can get tired when opponents pressure him in the past. He waits for opponents once he slows down. He can get picked apart in later rounds. Jeff Hughes and Junior Albini were able to attack the body very effectively. And Green also leans back with his chin in the air. And he's used to having a reach advantage. He's not going to have that in this fight. He has fought in glory. He was knocked out twice in those fights. He was hit with a big two-piece combination against Juan Espino, and he got dropped. And I think he kind of has a questionable chin a little bit. But he's not a bad grappler. He's strong in the clinch. And that's where I think he's going to have an advantage here, is if he can get in the clinch with his height, get that tie plum, land those knees to the body head, land some nice elbows, and make it dirty. But Green, he's an average wrestler. I imagine Pavlovich trying to take him down, if anything, but I don't think either guy's going to do it. Because Green is long. He's dangerous in his guard. He'll throw triangles up. He's the only heavyweight, I think, in the history of the UFC to get a triangle choke submission. And he has multiple. I think he has like three in his career. But his guard is hard to pass. And, you know, he doesn't have great get-ups. And he does look for the submission instead of going for the, you know, standing back to his feet. So that can lose him rounds if he doesn't get it. And he did get his back taken. He got rear naked choked against Juan Espino. And Jeff Hughes was able to take him down in their first fight, control him. But he does have four submissions overall, Maurice Greene, and he has been submitted just one time. But I'm going with Sergey in this fight by first-round knockout. I think that Greene leaves too many openings. He's going to be willing to attack, go first. And I think that Sergey is going to be able to land the jab, eventually get his range on the overhand right, and hurt Greene with the overhand right and put him out. Greene does throw more volume, and if he can use kicks, movement, get in the clinch when Sergey tries close distance and just out-volume him, he could win. But I think that Sergey, with his reach advantage and his better composure, counter-striking, is going to be able to find the shot and finish the fight. So I'm going with Sergey, first round KO here. And up next year, we actually have a pretty interesting stylistic matchup with Enrique Barzola taking on Movsar Evloev. And Movsar is one of the best prospects in the UFC. He's undefeated. He's 11-0. And he's looking to go 2-0 in the UFC. He's had two opponents pull out of a scheduled fight that he had on August 31st. So he's gotten rebooked here a little under 2 months later. And he's getting a bigger name in Enrique Barzola. And Evloev, he's a grinder. He has decent striking, but not really great. He will throw a jab, 1-2 out there. He'll throw some check left hooks. And he likes to grab the single collar, throw uppercuts. He'll throw some rear leg head kicks, question mark kicks. And good round kicks to the body, to the legs. He is training at Tiger Muay Thai, so he's looking to improve his striking, but he's in on the legs quickly in almost every fight of his career thus far. I feel he'll struggle with fighters who have solid movement, range striking. And, you know, he doesn't have a lot to close the distance. He can kind of overextend, be a little bit sloppy. But, you know, he has a great chin. He's willing to eat shots to get inside. And he's really just been dominant with his wrestling so far in his career. But he's an excellent wrestler. I mean, he has nice double legs. He'll shoot singles, take the back. He's excellent in the clinch against a cage. He'll look for body locks, foot sweeps, very good control there. He'll try to grab an ankle and just pull him down. And just, I just make people work, just cage grind on him. And I think Evloev needs cage grinding time to win this fight. And he's extremely strong. He'll dig double underhooks, muscle opponents to the ground. And he likes to get half guard. He smashes opponents from there. He'll make opponents turtle up where he'll take that wrestling ride position or the back and beat him up from there. And most of the time when he's taking an opponent down, they don't really, get out of his reach. They might get back up against the cage, but he's still going to be hanging on him and get him back down, mat return him. And he's usually on you for the remainder of the round if he can get a hold of you, especially as the fight goes on. He's relentless with his pace, his cardio, strong mount, hard ground and pound, great back takes, back control, really tremendous grappling cardio. He's extremely good in the scrambles. He wears on fights with his pressure, pace, riding ability. He's been in 5-round fights. He doesn't slow down. He's good off his back. He's good at sweeping in top position as well. But overall, he's very hard to take down. He has 4 submissions. They're all rear naked chokes. And for Enrique Barzola, he earned that hard-fought split decision against Bobby Moffitt in his last match. And I thought he won that fight, but there was some people that thought he lost. And Barzola's won 5 out of 6 fights. He's been hovering around the top 15 in the division for a couple years now. And he showed off the evolution in the striking a little bit in his last fight. Fought another grappler, and he won mostly, in a fight that was mostly stand-up. On the feet, I would classify Barzola as more of a point fighter. I would actually say he's more of a point fighter overall everywhere. But he keeps the pressure on opponents, decent distance control, but he just isn't very dangerous. He'll throw a lot of jabs. Usually he'll use them to move into range. He'll double jab, left hook. He'll kind of leap into the left hook. He'll throw 1-2s to the head, to the body, jab right hook or left hook right hook combinations. Good left hook, overhand right, and he will slip punches, return with hooks in the pocket. Very good at slipping and ripping, coming back with shots, and then when you think he's going to come back and punch you, then he'll duck under for the double. And his constant threat of the takedown does make his striking more effective. He can freeze opponents. He'll use takedown feints to come up into uppercut hook combos. But in this fight, he's not... I don't know if he's going to be able to scare Movsar with his wrestling, but Barzola will also attack the body with punches a lot to disguise level changes. He likes to use Superman punches. He will throw some occasional leg kicks, pretty nice calf kicks, nice round kicks to the body. And I have seen him throw some front kicks to the body along with some spinning kicks to the head. But overall, he's mostly just hands on the feet. And his defense on the feet is decent. He can be hittable, especially when you can back him up. And Kevin Aguilar was able to catch him as he overextended a couple times. He hurt him bad. But Barzola is a very good grappler. I mean, he's an explosive wrestler. He's very physical. He can manhandle opponents. Very good at using his strikes to get clean entries. He can land big explosive slams. He'll duck under, get the double underhooks, and circle to the back. And he's also good at getting the tight waist, getting those suplexes. And he chains takedowns together pretty well and usually finishes with the double. And his top control just has not been very good in the UFC. He hasn't been able to hold opponents down, do much with the top position. And he has the cardio to continue to dump opponents, but if he could look to finish in top position, he definitely would be more effective. Barzola, he has 39 takedowns in 8 UFC fights. He's been taken down just one time. So, I mean, his wrestling has been dominant so far through his UFC tenure. And, he's been able to take down almost every opponent he's faced, I believe. And in his fight with Bobby Moffitt, he was able to get late takedowns to seal the rounds. And I think this is going to be the first matchup where you can maybe say Barzola is going to be the lesser wrestler. And the way I see this fight going is I think Evloev is going to be the one going forward. And I think the striking is going to be close. But I think Barzola is going to be looking to stuff and keep it standing. Maybe go for takedowns at the end of the rounds like he did against Moffitt. But I see Evloev getting cage control. I think he's going to be able to grind on Barzola, work for takedowns, maybe get a couple. But just be the offensive fighter. I think that he's going to win the scrambles. And I think that he's going to be the one that's more active and the one that wins the grappling. So if Barzola is able to stuff and use movement to frustrate Evloev, he could win. But I think it's going to more likely be Evloev winning through his grappling here. So I'm going to go with Movsar Evloev to get the victory. And up next year, we have an interesting fight. We have a fight between Rafael Fiziev and Alex White. And I see a lot of love for Alex White this week. But Rafael Fiziev, he's looking to be for a better result in this fight than he had in his UFC debut. He got knocked out very early against Magomed, and he showed virtually nothing in that fight, but he is the kickboxing coach for Tiger Muay Thai. He's a high-level striker. He's had over 200 amateur Muay Thai fights, 29-4 as a pro in Muay Thai. He won the silver medal in the World Muay Thai Championship. And he's finished 5 of his 6 wins in MMA via KO, TKO. He's very light on his feet, great distance control, amazing head movement. I mean, he slips and rips excellently. Nice leg kicks, heavy body and head kicks. Very nice straight right hand, a devastating left hook. And he has a very nice counter left and right hook moving backwards. He'll slip and return with the left hook, straight or overhand right. Very diverse, and Fiziev has nasty lead elbows. And his ability to slip and rip is elite. I mean, he's famous for being able to slip head kicks. Dana White is even the guy that coined him the Matrix. And in his fight, the last match that he fought, he got caught cold with that spinning back kick that did drop him, and he got finished with ground and pound. Sometimes, obviously, using your eyes to defend kicks isn't the best, but he even had his guard up. I mean, Magomed just threw that kick just with fury, man. But Fiziev will throw some nice round kicks, question mark kicks to the head. He'll throw some spinning back fists, nice flying knees. He has a head kick, body kick, and flying knee knockout in MMA. He'll mix head kicks and flying knees into combinations very well, which are tricky to see. And he's very aggressive but technical, and he doesn't allow opponents very many opportunities to hit him. He doesn't tend to throw in combination much. He kind of just uses feints, backs opponents up, throws one or two shots until he hurts an opponent, and then he'll really start to put it on him. But he really slowly breaks down guys' legs, body throughout the fight, tries to keep it standing and just knock you out. And he has 5 knockout wins in 6 MMA fights, and his one loss in his MMA career is via TKO in his last fight. But he looks strong in the clinch. He'll dig underhooks. He'll throw hard knees and elbows, body, head. He'll grab the tie plum, throw some knees there. And most of the work I've seen from him in the clinch is in Muay Thai, where he doesn't have the threat of the takedown. In MMA, he tries to disengage from the clinch a lot, but he will throw some nice shots off the break. And I haven't seen him attempt many takedowns or defend many takedowns, but he did go for an unsuccessful takedown in his UFC debut, and he was able to defend a single leg. Overall, though, there's been very limited tape of his ability to grapple. And in his fight in Titan, he did drop an opponent with a leg kick and controlled him in top position, but he didn't pass guard. And he was able to posture up and land some big elbows. And he does have a one kyuretic, a choke. And I do think his fast twitch muscles, his footwork, his counters will make it hard for fighters to just get on his legs very easily unless they're very good wrestlers. But, you know, for Alex White, it's going to be his 10th UFC fight here. So he's been a veteran, and he's been very up and down in his career so far in the UFC, but he is coming off a victory over Dan Moret in March, and his wins have come against very low-level competition. I mean, I'm not sure any of the opponents he's defeated are still in the UFC. Dan Moret may still be under contract, but he's 0-3 in the company. And for Alex White, though, he still has a major experience advantage. He's fought some top guys, even if he's lost, and he's a southpaw brawler, solid power, and he doesn't use a lot of finesse. He's gotten better at not just staying in front of opponents, feigning a bit more, but his striking is still all big actions usually. Doesn't use a lot of jabs or setups to start combinations. And he likes to pressure forward, look to counter, look for straight lefts or right hooks. He'll try to land the straight left or right hook, then explode in a range of multi-punch combinations. And he's dangerous with his blitzes. I mean, he'll throw concussive shots, but he likes to throw the right hook, straight left hand. He'll throw straight rights or front kicks to the body. He won't mix in body shots, uppercuts, and he's going to be, you know, the more aggressive fighter that throws more volume, but he's going to be significantly slower in this fight, and his aggressiveness could be his downfall. I think if he comes in using these obvious blitzes with his chin high, he could get knocked out badly, but, you know, you still have to respect White's power. He has 5 knockouts in his career, and you know, he hits very hard, and he has a good chin as well. He's only been finished once via strikes, but in this fight, if he's going to win it, I think he has to mix it up. He has lost fights due to wrestling in the past, but definitely should be the better wrestler in this matchup, and he should use his blitz combos to set up double legs or body locks, and even if he can't finish, you know, push Fiziev to the cage, get him to respect the threat of the takedown, and he has nice elbows in the clinch, and he also has a good front choke he'll attack with. I haven't seen Fiziev work off his back, and maybe he's very green there. White usually isn't a fighter who uses takedown to win fights, but he needs to at least try here. You know, he was able to get a couple body locks against Dan Moret, and he couldn't control Moret. He doesn't really have great top game, but he does have 5 submissions. That guillotine is good, and he has been submitted just one time in his career. He is tough. He has good cardio. He's willing to dig deep to win a fight. And I think Fiziev, though, should get the jump on Alex White. I think his striking of Alex White is tailor-made for a guy like Fiziev. Fiziev has fantastic eyes. He slips, and White enters range so deliberately. So I feel like with his bad defense, I think Fiziev's going to be able to start slow, get his reads in range with some leg kicks, then start to pick it up, pressure, force bad takedown attempts or blitz attacks, and take White out. White needs to get in the clinch or on the ground, and I think Fiziev is good with his movement. He looks explosive, strong, and I see him, using leg kicks, feints, jabs, being effective in earning respect from White. And I'm going to say Fiziev catches White as he enters early round two, puts him down, knocks him out. So I'm going with Rafael Fiziev via KO TKO here. And up next here, we have Random Marcos taking on Ashley Yoder. And this is an interesting fight here because Random Marcos is a girl who likes to bring it to the ground in a lot of her fights, but her jiu-jitsu can be a little bit questionable. We've seen her get submitted by girls like Courtney Casey. And Ashley Yoder is a good submission artist, even off of her back. But, on the feet, I feel like it's going to be very close because I think that Yoder is going to definitely have the 3-inch reach advantage here. It's pretty significant. I think she's decent at using those kicks and her straight punches to keep distance, and she did that against Mackenzie Dern. But in her fight with Suri Kondo, she kind of minimalized her reach by pressing the action. She did throw a lot of the volume. She was very aggressive, but she was using it to get in the tie clinch, which I think maybe she'll try to do again here. Get that tie clinch, use the knees, go for takedowns. If you get taken down, try to scramble to top position, back to your feet, try to lock in a submission, and just keep the volume high, try to break Randa. And, Randa, when she fought Claudia Gadelha, that fight just wasn't a very good fight for her. She didn't do much in that fight. So she definitely has to come back and show a better showing here. And I think she's going to try to go for takedowns here, but the thing is, I just don't know. I think that Yoder is going to be the better submission grappler here. I think that I'm going to go with Yoder via submission in this fight because I think that what's going to happen is I think that Randa is going to start off very good. I think that she's going to get some takedowns. I think she's going to be controlling. But I think as the fight goes on, I think Yoder's going to start putting the pressure on her on the feet. And I think she's going to start to kind of make Randa work for the takedowns. And I think that she's going to be able to catch a submission in a scramble here, maybe take the back of a rear naked choke and an arm bar. And I just think she's the better submission artist. And I think that there's going to be some grappling. I think on the feet, it's 50-50. And I think that this fight could be 50-50. I mean, it could go to split decision. Maybe I'll be wrong and Randa is just level above Ashley, but I'm gonna go with Ashley Yoder in this fight via submission. And up next here we have another fight that's a pretty fun fight with Muslim Salikov taking on Laureano Starapoli. And Salikov, he bounced back from that loss in his UFC debut with back-to-back highlight reel knockouts, and he's knocked both of those guys out cold. And his striking is just very good, man. He's very light on his feet, great distance control, in and out movement, feints, super fast, closing the distance with both punches and kicks. He can fight going backwards and forwards. He'll walk opponents into strikes. He'll use forward pressure, feints, counter punching. Really nasty jab, heavy low kick. Really good leaping left hook, overhand right combination. He'll throw a nasty left hook, straight right hand combination. And those counters, his opponents try to get inside, he'll pull counter with those shots. Very good. He's always looking to set up spinning attacks. He'll pull counter with kicks as well. He has many KOs with spinning techniques, flawless technique with the spinning back kicks, both to the leg or to the body and the head. He'll start low, attack the body, then start going high. Really good spinning back fist, really nasty switch kick. And I mean, this man is just a problem. He has over 100 combined knockouts in kickboxing, wushu, and MMA. And his right hand is extremely powerful. Both of his UFC knockouts have come courtesy of that right hand. And his defense on the feet is excellent. Great head movement, circles out excellently, great eyes, catches kicks, counters, keeps opponents off balance, makes them gun shy. And the only issue I would say is he has sometimes gotten hit with the overhands after opponents feint takedowns. But in this fight, I don't think Starapoli is going to have that big of a threat of the takedown. But Salikov, he's just been hit 31 times in 3 fights in the UFC, and none of them were very significant. And overall, he's just very quick. He's hard to hit. He's never been knocked out in MMA. And in 199 kickboxing matches, He only got knocked out one time. And he does have 12 TKOs in MMA, KO TKOs. And I really don't expect this fight to hit the mat. Salkov will use the clinch. If opponents cross the distance aggressively, he'll grab the over-under, double underhooks, push opponents to the fence. He doesn't really have the best control in the clinch. He mostly just looks to disengage, attack with elbows off the break. But his takedown defense is solid. I mean, he digs underhooks well. And I just don't think Staropoli will be able to even be able to take him down. I don't think he's even going to try to take him down. And Salkov does have two arm triangle victories. And, he's lost both of his matches that he's lost by rear naked choke. But Lariano Staropoli, he had a dominant victory over Thiago Alves. And he was scheduled to face Alexey Kuchenko, but he had to withdraw due to an injury, which was only last month. So I don't know if he's 100% here, but he likes to brawl. He was much more technical in his last fight. He was light on his feet, good movement, very athletic, and he used a lot of kicks. He was able to use straight punches to keep Alves on the outside, switch stances, and he has a nice jab, very nice 1-2. He'll throw a jab, left hook, or a left hook, straight right hand combination. He'll wane forward with heavy hooks in combination, 1-2 to a leg kick. He'll throw a body. He'll go body head with hook combos. He'll mix in uppercuts. And he likes to throw a lot of spinning back fists, flying knees. He'll throw spinning back fists and a round kicks to the body or the head. And he's very athletic, and he has a fighter's heart. If you hit him, he's going to try to counter back. And he was throwing in his last fight a lot of jumping kicks to the body and to the head. And he was, giving or using or creating a lot of distance with those strikes and landing from very far out. But he doesn't really have one punch power. He's more of a volume guy. He does have 5 KO TKOs and 9 wins. And he was knocked out in his one loss. But I would say he's a questionable grappler. I mean, in his last match, he was taken down by Thiago Alves, and he has no takedowns or takedown attempts in his UFC fights. And he was able to quickly disengage, get back to his feet against Alves. And I mean, maybe a good game plan here would be to implement some takedowns, but I don't think he has that skill. I think Muslim just isn't super easy to take down like that either. And Staropoli just has 2 submissions and 9 wins. He's never been submitted, but he is young and confident. He has good cardio. He throws a ton of volume. But in this fight, I just think Salkov is going to try to pressure him, jab the kicks of Staropoli, feint leg kick, look for counters. I don't see Staropoli being as aggressive in this fight and respecting the ability of Salkov, because I think if he doesn't, he's going to get knocked out. I just think that Salkov has another good matchup here. I think his striking level is much higher level than Staropoli. I think that Staropoli doesn't really pose a takedown threat. And unless Loyano comes in here and shows off a different dimension of his game, I don't see him hurting Salkov on the feet or even landing much. And I just see Salkov getting it done. I think that he's going to use his leg kicks early, his jab, kind of start to make Laureano move backwards, and then he's going to start to open up, get comfortable, and I expect him to continue to improve, get more comfortable with Mark Henry, with more fights in MMA. And I'm going to say with Salkov, gets a second or third round KO in this fight. And up next here, we have another heavyweight matchup with Ciryl Gane taking on Dontayle Mays. And Ciryl Gane, he had an impressive UFC debut. He had that dominant first round submission over Rafael Pessoa. And he's 4-0, but he looks like he could be a serious prospect. He's also 12-0 in Muay Thai. And he has very good striking. He's not your typical heavyweight. Excellent movement, switches stances, very fast, fluid. He does hold his hands low, but he's light on his feet. He bounces in and out. He's very hard to hit. Great eyes. He sees shots coming well. And he's 6'5", 83-inch reach, so he can keep fighters on the outside. He uses his reach very well. He has a snappy jab. He'll, follow the jab with the straight right hand. Good 1-2. He switches stances, rips the straight punch to the body from both stances fluidly, slips punches effortlessly, and he'll use slips to create new angles for shots. He has barely gotten hit in the fights that I've seen. He's light his opponents up. I mean, he's a nasty left hook, right uppercut, hard leg kicks. He'll throw oblique kicks, body kicks, head kicks, but man, I mean, he does have nasty front knees to the body as well. He'll mix in spinning kicks, spinning back fists. And so far in his career, I mean, he's been able to pressure land, make his opponents miss, and just take them out. And when he gets fighters hurt, he has great composure. He picks his shots well, and he's very creative. He'll throw double punches, spinning back fists, jump knees. And he has 3 KO TKOs. And I haven't seen Gane tagged or how he reacts to that, but Looks like he's going to be hard to hit, and I do feel that, he is maybe a little bit hittable against elite strikers, but who even knows? I mean, we have to see. I think that he's a guy that we have to see against a wrestler more than a striker to give him trouble. But he did earn a submission victory in his UFC debut, and he's taller than most of his opponents, so he's effective in the clinch. Nice Muay Thai plum, and he'll get double underhooks when opponents get too aggressive on the feet and push him into the cage, work from there. He was able to use the double underhooks to push his last opponent to the cage, get the body lock, and he catches kicks well, uses that to get takedowns. And when he took top position against Pazoe, he quickly finished with an arm triangle. And he's also very aggressive with ground and pound. He'll throw the legs away, move into side control, good front chokes. And he has two submissions in his four victories. He doesn't really waste a lot of energy. He's very fluid. So I doubt he'll gas unless he's forced out of his comfort zone or put it on his back. And for Dontell Mays, the third time was the charm for him on the Dana White Contender Series. He went 2-1 on the show, but he finished his last opponent. And his last two opponents, actually. And with four consecutive wins, they gave him the chance to fight in the UFC. And he's a very tall fighter. He's actually taller than Gon. He's 6'6". And he's actually pretty athletic. He fights like a small guy. Uses a lot of lateral movement, stance switching like Gon does. And he will close the distance with straights, rear uppercuts, lead elbows. But wide hooks in close range. And he throws some decent front and round kicks to the body. And he actually has some solid head movement. He'll duck and roll shots. He likes to use his slips to create openings for spinning back fists. But, he can kind of rely on the spins too much in some fights. He'll also throw some flying knees, jump kicks, and when he gets confident, he will start to flow and open up more. But he does hold his hands low. He's very easy to hit. He throws everything wide and close range. Fighters with good striking definitely are going to knock him out, in my opinion. And he doesn't like being pressured. He's very susceptible to low kicks. He doesn't really have the biggest power, but at heavyweight, he obviously can knock you out. He did land a big straight left hand that dropped his last opponent, led to the finish. And he has four KO TKOs, and he has been finished by strikes one time. And he's gonna, you have to commend Dontell Mays for his improvements in his grappling. He really had no grappling at all versus Allen Crowder. And then he did fight a recently, maybe like a couple years ago, he fought Muhammad Usman, who's Marty Usman's brother. And he was able to defend all the takedowns of him. And he's a college wrestler. And he's gotten better at getting back to the fence, using that to stand back up. He'll get an overhaul, create space, throw nice knees. He'll use elbows to the side of the head. And he also counter with Kimuras. And he doesn't shoot takedowns, but he was able to get a decent sweep off his back with the Kimura on the Dana White Contender Series. And he has finished his last two opponents with ground and pound after dropping them. But he isn't a big submission threat. He has just one in his career. And I think most likely Dontell Mays is getting knocked the fuck out in this fight. I mean, Mays is going to have big trouble with the jab of Gon. I think, along with the speed, I think if Gon puts the pressure on him, he's going to force bad punches, attacks, see them coming, and be able to slip a counter. And I think if he wants to take down Mays, he's going to be able to take him down. And Gon has so much composure. He fights very calm. I just don't see many paths to victory for Mays. I see him breaking Mays. I think that Mays just doesn't have enough in this matchup. It's a bad style. He likes to be the faster, more athletic guy. He fights on the outside, hands low. But he's facing a faster guy with much more variety. He's crisper, better defense. And Gon's cardio is better as well, in my opinion. And I'm going to say Cyril gets a late first-round knockout in this fight. And I'm not sure we have a fight between Benil Dariush and Frank Camacho. And I don't really have the best read on this fight, to be honest with you. But for Benil Dariush, I mean, he's going to be a better fighter here, in my opinion, everywhere. It's just going to be whether his durability holds up. But he's a pressure striker, good jab, strong body kick, nice straight left hand, good left hook. He's also a southpaw, and he closes distance very well with his punches. He has a nice jab, straight left hand to head kick combination. He'll throw Superman punches, spinning back fists. But he's more of a counter striker. He kind of likes to anticipate shots, block and return. Good knees, and he has some good power as well. But he has a questionable chin. He got flatlined very badly against Edson Barboza. He got knocked out in like 30 seconds against Hernandez. And he's been finished three times by KO TKO. And he was hurt in his last fight against Drew Dober, but he was able to recover, get the victory. And he's a strong grappler. I mean, he's a BJJ competitor. He's a black belt. Good in the clinch. Very good job getting the Muay Thai plum. Great job digging underhooks. And he's good at getting clinch takedowns against a cage. He was able to dominate Thiago Moises, control him against the fence, taking him down. And he's an elite BJJ guy. I mean, on top, he's very dangerous. Heavy elbows, huge ground and pound. He's a black belt. He's won the Nogi World Championships. He's a blue, purple, and brown belt. And, you know, he's gotten six submissions in his career. Good arm triangles, rear naked chokes. He has been submitted one time, but he's also slid off his back. He'll attack with the omoplata sweeps, arm bars, triangles. But in this fight, you know, he needs to close the distance, get inside, land those bombs, work in the clinch, and, you know, get control time. You know, I feel like he could get some takedowns in this fight. And I think that he's a little bit better on the feet tactically as well. But for Frank Camacho, he looked pretty good in his last fight. You know, he took on, who was that? Nick Hine back at 155, dropping back down again. And he's fighting at 155 again. And he's 2-0 at lightweight, or 2-0 at lightweight. But his one lightweight fight, or his one other lightweight fight that he had besides his fight with Nick Hine, he did weigh 160 pounds in that fight. So that was kind of like a catchweight bout, but I would say he's 2-0 at lightweight in the UFC, and you know, he's training at Timo Yama. He's getting much more confident. He's trying to become more of a cerebral guy, fight to a game plan. But he has good forward pressure and no problem sticking in the pocket, taking shots to give shots. Usually, good 1-2. He'll try to pull counter off the 1-2. Good knees to the body. In his last fight against Nick Hine, he was attacking the body very effectively. And everyone knows that Camacho has that big power. So if he hits you on the button, he could knock you out. And, you know, he does tend to get very tired in fights, though, and he relies heavily on his chin. So I'm not sure, you know, I just don't know about Frank Camacho. He's a brown belt as well in jiu-jitsu. He's a solid wrestler, and he's good in the clinch. You know, he was able to take Drew Dober a few times, take him down in the clinch a few times. And, you know, he was able to control top position on Drew Dober, but he was taken down by Damian Brown. He got his back taken. And if you get taken down by Beneil Dariush and give your back like that, I think you're going to get submitted. So, you know, Camacho, he has three submissions, and he has been submitted one time in his career. And in this fight, man, I think that Camacho has to go back to his old style almost in terms of being a marauder, because if he tries to just be tactical with Dariush, I think Dariush is going to be the better outside striker. And I think that if Dariush gets a takedown, he could be in trouble. So I kind of feel like Camacho has to push this fight, just try to go for the knockout here. But I think that Beneil Dariush is going to be able to get it to the ground at one point and get a submission victory here. So I don't know whether it'll be in the first, second, or third round, but I'm going with Beneil Dariush via submission. And up next year, we're going to fight with Michael Johnson taking on Stevie Ray. And if you watch this channel by now, you know that, you know, I'm a fan of Michael Johnson. I pick him in a lot of these fights. And I actually bet Michael Johnson against Josh Emmett. And fuck, man, I was feeling that money coming to my account, bro. I was like, hell yeah, this dude's beating his ass. Johnson was up 2.5 rounds to 0. Easy, he was barely getting touched. He was schooling Josh Emmett. Then he fucking gets overconfident, overextends, gets knocked the fuck out. It's like, wow, man. I mean, that sucks. Because Michael Johnson, I mean, he historically has a great chin, man. But he took, that was a bad knockout. So, but Stevie Ray also got knocked out in his last fight against a jiu-jitsu guy that was coming off a huge layoff. So that was a bad loss for Stevie Ray. But how I see this fight going, I mean, if it stays on the feet, it's going to be Michael Johnson all day, man. I mean, he's too fast. This is just my opinion. I don't know, but he's too fast. He's too good at distance control with that left hand, with that body kick. And I think he's going to be moving and grooving on Stevie Ray. And I think he could easily point fight his way to a victory or get a knockout, because Stevie Ray is so slow, man. I mean, he's one of the slowest guys in the division, in my opinion. And I think that Michael Johnson, one of the fastest guys in the division, I think that now that he's moving back up to 55s, he's going to be, you know, a little bit, you know, in better shape. He's going to be able to go hard 3 rounds, not get tired. Maybe it'll help his chin a little bit, his cardio. And Michael Johnson has had problems with grapplers, which, you know, he's had problems with, like, Reza Madani, Khabib, a lot of guys that are grapplers. But the thing is, you know, I don't think Stevie Ray, where Michael Johnson does have a college wrestling background, I don't really know if Stevie Ray is going to be able to get it to the ground like that. And I feel like Michael Johnson is going to be able to keep this on the feet. Because Stevie Ray, in my opinion, I think he's going to come in with a game plan and try to pressure land a big shot or get the takedown, because he has been doing a lot of jiu-jitsu. You know, he just recently had a jiu-jitsu competition where he won via knee bar against Patty Pimblett. And, you know, I believe that he's going to be trying to get into the ground. Like, we've seen him on the ground against guys like Joe Lozon. He's fared well. So he's definitely a higher-level guy in terms of jiu-jitsu than Michael Johnson. And if he can get this fight to the back, get in an enviable position, take the back, get the mount, we could see him finishing Michael Johnson, but I think it's a little far-fetched to believe that he's going to be able to catch one of those positions. So my pick's going to be Michael Johnson wins this fight via decision or knockout. And I am fairly confident that Michael Johnson gets it done, but his line is like minus 350. I mean, don't hit that line. If you're hitting that, you're fucking insane, man. But I'm going with Michael Johnson to get it done. And up next year, we have a main event fight, a very intriguing fight with Damian Maia facing Ben Askren. And Ben Askren is going to be entering the cage for the first time following a loss. I mean, everyone knows about Ben Askren's last fight by now. He got knocked out in 4 seconds. And he's a guy who I don't know. I don't think he's going to be dwelling on the loss. I feel like he's going to come in here in a good mental headspace. And if he loses, Damian is just better than him. But it's tough to say. I mean, he's never been in this position. So it's not like I could say I know 100% how he's feeling right now. But Damian Maia, he's going to be looking to run his record in 2019 to 3-0. And he's 41 years old, and he's still turning back these up-and-comers like Rocco Martin. He's showing he's still a beast. And he did gas hard in the third round of that fight. And he's gas hard in a lot of his fights. So that's going to be a key, in my opinion, for Ben Askren here. But this is an intriguing matchup. I mean, it's going to be two guys that love to grapple. But are we going to see the return of K1 Maia? Or, you know, because I feel like on the feet, Maya's going to have a big advantage here. And I actually think, this is my opinion, I think that Ben Askren's way to victory in this fight is he has to almost play like a rope. This is because I've seen Ben Askren, you know, certain videos. These are from a long time ago, so it's hard to kind of say, but where he's grappled with guys like Tim Kennedy, Jake Shields, Marcelo Garcia, guys who are very, very high level. I mean, don't get me wrong, but he's getting caught in guillotines. He's getting his back taken. He's getting submitted a lot, so I don't know. I don't know if he wants to go out there early on when Damian and him are both extremely fresh and fuck around on the ground with a guy like Damian with the half guard sweeps, with the back takes, with the guillotines. And I feel like the smarter game plan for Ben Askren, I don't know if he's actually going to do it, because I actually kind of feel like Ben Askren is one of these guys where he is analytical, but he's also kind of like a meathead wrestler where I feel like he kind of is going to have a point to prove, or he's going to be very confident in his grappling, maybe to a fault. But I think that what he should do is early on in this fight, maybe the first two rounds, if he can handle it, you know, just pressure him, pressure Damian Maia, keep a high guard, you know, absorb shots, maybe try to return a little bit. I feel like Maia is going to be significantly better as a striker, but let Damian Maia get off on the striking, man. Let him beat you up a couple rounds where he's landing a big shot. He's kicking, he's punching, he's exerting energy. And then defend the takedowns while he's doing that as well. You can't let him get breaks in between with the takedown. So Askren, that's going to be an effective game plan. He has to be able to stuff as well. And Maia's a great wrestler, man. I mean, Maia took down Marty Usman. So, but, you know, for Ben Askren, I think that that's his game plan. I think he needs to go in there maybe the first couple rounds, kind of rope-a-dope, walk him down, pressure, stuff the takedowns, get Damian tired. And then once he gets Damian tired, then I think he should work him in the clinch, you know, work for the tight waist, circle to the back, take him down, get him in that wrestling ride position, get him where he's comfortable, where he can control, and there's not a lot of submission attempts for Maia. Even if he's in Maya's guard, he's in a little bit of danger there, but Maia, you know, he isn't a big guard guy. He gets more of a sweep from half guard, and if Ben Askren maybe can be static in top position against Damian Maia, he could hold him down. But is that going to win you a fight? I mean, that's why this is an interesting fight, because I feel like the first couple rounds, for sure, Damian Maia is going to be the better guy there. I think that Damian's going to be the better striker, and I think that Damian's going to be going for takedowns as well. I mean, I don't think Damian's going to be like shying away and saying, I'm going to be a striker in this fight. I think he's going to be going for takedowns. I don't know if he's going to be able to get takedowns on Ben Askren, but I could maybe even see him pulling guard. Maybe he'll try to pull guard and see if Ben Askren will follow him down. But, man, I mean, the thing is about this fight is I think early on, the first two rounds, Damian Maia is very live for submission. And I think if he takes the back, I think if he locks in a guillotine position, that it could be good night for Ben Askren. And, you know, for Ben Askren, you know, I think he has to push into that third, fourth, fifth round where he could maybe even get a finish if Maya's absolutely exhausted. He is used to fighting out there in Singapore. Or I don't know about Singapore, but he's used to out there fighting in Asia. And, you know, so he has a gym, I think, over there in Asia that he could train at as well. I don't know how. I think that he's been at Rufus Sport, but, you know, actually, man, I mean, this is a tough fight. I feel like all the line value is on Damian Maya. I feel like this should be a pickup. I don't know why they have, like, Ben Askren minus 185. I think that line's a little bit disrespectful, to be honest, to Maya. Maya's fought much better fighters, and I think that Maya's just a lot bigger than Ben Askren, man. I mean, Ben Askren's talked about being able to cut to 55s, and Maya's fought at 185 before. And, you know, Maya, the guys that he's lost to that have been able to take him down have been very big guys, like Chris Weidman. Who was the other guy that was able to? Jake Shields. Jake Shields isn't a big guy, but Jake Shields is an elite jiu-jitsu guy himself, where he's super high level on the mat in terms of jiu-jitsu, pure jiu-jitsu and wrestling, which I don't know if Ben Askren necessarily has that high level jiu-jitsu skill that a guy like Jake Shields does, because when I was watching Ben Askren and Jake Shields rolling, Ben Askren was getting tapped out, man. And I mean, that's no shame. It's Jake fucking Shields. But does he have the... I'm going to go with Damian Maya via rear naked choke in the second round. And I'm going with Damian Maya. I think he's going to be able to get the submission early. I just don't know. I can't trust the jiu-jitsu of Ben Askren, man. I haven't seen him fight any of these high-level jiu-jitsu guys. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think, like, the best jiu-jitsu guy's fought probably is, like, Shinya Aoki, but Shinya Aoki is a small guy. He's not even close to Damian Maya's size. I mean, Maya might be the biggest fighter that Ben Askren's ever fought in MMA. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't really talk. I don't know how big, like, Luis Sapo Santos was and all these guys that were juiced up, but Maya's a big fucking dude, and he's going to be maybe the most powerful guy when they grab a hold of each other that Askren's ever felt. So it's going to be interesting. You know, if Askren could take him down, hold him down, beat him up, that would be very impressive. Extremely impressive. But I'm going with Damian Maya via submission in this fight. And for my most confident pick of the night, I'm actually going to go with Loma Lagbunbe. And for the parlay of the week, I'm going to go with Surreal God and Muslim Salikov. So make sure to comment, like, subscribe. And put down there in your comment, you know, who's your best play of the week? Like, who are you guys going to be betting on this week? And also put down if you guys have any parlays, how you did last week as well. And, so let's get a win this weekend. Let's get it going down there in Singapore, and hopefully we can have fun watching these fights.